we come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
When the world around you is falling apart, what are you to do? The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled, I Will Look to the Lord, a teaching through the books of Micah and Nahum. More information is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
Yeah, so let's pray for them. Father God, we just lift up the people in Myanmar. Lord God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would have your hand on them, that you would protect them, Lord. You would set your angels around them. Father, we are so thankful for their bravery in being there. Lord, that they would want to be a part of that country. I know our missionaries are just so involved with their neighborhood there. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would go before them, that you would give every person wisdom. Father, we pray for your peace to come upon that place. In the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would be glorified at the end of the day, that you would be glorified with all of this. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. I pray, Father, for this study this morning. I pray, God, that your hand would be on us, that we would hear from you, Lord, and that you would be glorified, that you would receive all the glory and honor and praise that is due to your name. Lord, that we would, our eyes would be firmly set on you, that no matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's going on in our future, no matter what is going on today, Lord, that you are in complete control, and we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that we have that confidence in you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So you all know what day it is, right? It's Groundhog Day. That's one day, yes. So I have to go home tonight and watch Groundhog Day. That's my tradition now. And so, there's another day that today is. Oh, it's your sister's birthday. Okay. It's my friend's birthday. I'll bet you there's a lot of things that are going on this day, but I bet you didn't know that this is National Ukulele Day. So, National Ukulele Day, you heard it first here, and I want you to get out your ukuleles and just play your heart out today, really appreciate that instrument, and get together with Pastor Bill on that one. Yeah. So, Bethany shared a great acrostic with me, with the ministry wives. She's so good at sharing things with us. She shared this yesterday, and I want to share it with you. So if you have your notes out and you have your pens out, you're going to write stress in a line, S-T-R-E-S-S, okay? So it's going to be an acrostic, and the S is seek God's guidance. Here's how to deal with stress. Seek God's guidance. T, trust what he tells you to do. Trust what he tells you to do. R, remember past victories. Remember past victories. It's important that we do that. We must remember those past victories. And the E, exalt God above the problem. Exalt God above the problem. S, solicit the prayers and support of others. Solicit the prayers and support of others. And the last S is to stand on the promises of God. Stand on the promises of God. So how do we deal with stress? We seek God's guidance. We trust what he tells us to do. We remember past victories. We exalt God above the problem. We solicit the prayers and support of others, and we stand on the promises of God. That's an important thing for us to remember. So I'm glad that we have it written down so that we can go back to it and we can deal with it in that way. Okay, well, I had a dream. I have dreams here and there. And back in August of 2019, before the women's retreat, I had a dream. And you remember women's retreats, that thing where we all got together and, you know, we had a great time. We slept over and we had the pajama party and singing and all that stuff. Well, that will come again. We are actually planning towards something. We'll see. We plan, and God, you know, man makes his way, and God tells us what to do. So in this dream, I had written it down because I had, when I remember a dream, I usually know that it's from the Lord. Anybody else like that? If you remembered it, or you wake up with this dream, you go, what in the world was that? What was that anyway? You know, you don't remember any part of the dream. But when you remember a dream, write it down because God's speaking to you. And probably it isn't. Probably it is not pizza. Honestly. Because we take things lightly when the Lord speaks to us. Sometimes he speaks to us that way in dreams. And we take it lightly and we just assume that, oh, it's just what I ate or whatever. And we don't take the time to find out what God's saying through it. Anyway, in this dream, I was in an airport. My daughter Shannon was there. Other ladies were there also. Everyone was laughing and having fun. And all of a sudden, I'm there, and I am folding clothes in the airport. Okay? So I have moved away from the group. I'm folding clothes. Okay. Then I looked over at a man by a table for two. We're still in the airport. I'm still folding clothes in the airport. And over here is a man at a table, and he's motioning, come and sit. Come and sit. And I looked at him, and I was hesitant about it. He motioned again, come and sit. And a lady was sitting at a table nearby looking at me. This is the dream that I had, and I have to read what I wrote. This is terrible. Just to keep on track. A lady was sitting at a table nearby, and she looked at me as if to say, so what are you going to do? Come and sit. Come and sit. What are you going to do? And then I woke up, and so I asked the Lord for an interpretation of this, because this is a little bit strange, you know. So wherever, here's the interpretation. Wherever I am, I'm always thinking of something else. Wherever I am, I'm always thinking of something else. The man at the table was Jesus. He was asking me to come to the table. Stop, sit, come to the table. And so it was that reminder to me to just stop. Just stop. Be all there. Be completely there. When you are investing time with the Lord, when you are praying, when you are worshiping, when you are doing reading your Bible, be all the way there. Other thoughts will want to come in. Stand against them. Be all there. Be completely there. I'm still asking the Lord for a verse for this year. And of course, you know that last year our verse was Nahum 2:1. And that one said, he who scatters has come up before your face. Man the fort, watch the road, strengthen your flanks, fortify your power mightily. And that was for last year in preparation for this year. So as I'm asking the Lord for a word from him, the only word that he has given me so far is in Job 3:26. I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, for trouble comes. okay, God, that's worse than the one in Nahum. You know, I just got to say, I don't appreciate these kinds of words. These are supposed to encourage me. This does encourage me. I am not at rest because my rest is not here. He is my rest. My rest is not built around here. And so I need to be able to know that. I have no rest. I will find my rest in Christ and Christ alone. We are in the midst of spiritual warfare. I know there are a lot of you who know that, and there are some of you who say, what's spiritual warfare? What is that even? And so we are in the midst of that spiritual warfare, and that spiritual warfare that's going on. And I, you know what, I, because of this chapter 2, I was thinking, you know what, I would love to say to you, oh, everything's going to be fine, everything's going to work out great, everything's good, everything, blah, this is all, you're fine, go ahead and do whatever you're doing, you're fine, but I would be a false prophet, and I would not be doing what God called me to do, and that's what we have in chapter 2, people telling the people, prophets telling the people, you're fine, don't worry about it, go ahead and do whatever you want to do. And they were false prophets. They were leading the people astray. They were worshiping idols, and they were telling them, that's okay, you go ahead and worship idols. That's all right. Don't worry about it. It'll be fine. And I don't want to be that kind of a prophet. I don't consider myself a prophet, per se, but I know that the Lord gives me words. So we are in the midst of spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6:12 says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly place. And I got to tell you right now that when I was writing this down, I never expected to feel this way as I shared it with you. This is a word from God. I just got to tell you. This is a word that God is speaking to you this morning. So you can either take it or leave it. That's up to you. But I got to tell you, this is a word that God is telling you. So yeah. So we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That is spiritual warfare. That's what's going on. It's going on in the heavenlies. Ephesians 6 tells us to put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, our feet shod with the gospel, and to be prepared, to always be prepared for that spiritual warfare. Always have on everything that we need for that. In Daniel 10, we have the description of spiritual warfare, and we're just going to turn to Daniel. Daniel is the book just before the minor prophets begin. And in Daniel 10, we have that the story of that. What has happened is Daniel has been on a fast. He's been fasting and praying for 21 days. And for 21 days, he's heard nothing from the Lord. Nothing has happened from the Lord. And in verse 10, it says, suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. And I tell you right now, I'm standing here trembling. It is the same feeling that Daniel is expressing right here. And then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, humble yourself in the sight of God, and he will exalt you in due time. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and then I will heal their land. But to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard and I have come because of your words. When you first started praying, I heard you. When you first started praying, I started my journey to get to you. But verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia, speaking of the enemy, withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision refers to many days yet to come. I had to fight to get to the place to tell you what God is going to do. And that's what's going on in your life right now. You're fighting to tell what God will do. This is spiritual warfare. This is what God has for us right now, but take heart. We have been preparing for this day all of our lives. You have been preparing for this day all of your life. God has been preparing you for this particular day. Well, what if this happens? What? He's prepared you for it. Joshua 1:9 says, Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. The book of Micah is not just a story. It is a group of prophecies. And Micah tells us that Micah needed a lot of strength to do what he did, to stand up against the people that called themselves, we would say today, Christians, called themselves believers, called themselves priests, called themselves prophets. It took a lot of courage to stand up against them and to say these things. He denounces corrupt officials, both religious and political. Both religious and political, he dealt with them. In both of the nations, Israel and the southern nation of Judah, judges took bribes. Priests teach God's word only for money. And God's prophets told fortunes for profit. They were not prophets. They were telling fortunes. They were not forth-telling. They were not prophesying. Prophesying is forth-telling, and it has to come to pass. And so they told the people that what they the prophets, the false prophets, told the people what they wanted to hear. A true prophet tells the people what God is saying. A true prophet will tell the people what God is saying, not what the people want to hear. I've heard recently, and I'm hearing it more and more, if everybody speaks well of you, you're probably doing something wrong. Because there should be that challenge in our lives. There should be that challenge, and we should be standing up. Rulers misled the people, nobles took advantage of the poor, and the masses take their prayers and their petitions to where? They were taking it to idols. And they were being encouraged by the prophets to take it to idols. Whatever you want to worship, that's fine. God hears you. No. And that's what he had to deal with. And because of this, Micah says, God will destroy both nations. Assyria, in fact, destroyed Israel during Micah's lifetime in 722 BC. And so Assyria also overran Judah, what we talked about last week. They went up to the gates, and that was about 20 years later that happened. They stopped just short of Jerusalem. They came to the wall of Jerusalem, and that was in 586 BC. And yet, as we will see, Micah also promises that a time will come when the Jewish nation will be restored and they will worship God. That's Micah. That's the book of Micah. How cool is that? And so we start with verses 1 through 5. Woe to those who devise iniquity. I tell you right from the beginning, he says, woe to you who devise iniquity. You are in big trouble. Woe to you who devised iniquity, those who made evil plans and carried them out at work and work out evil in their beds. They lay in their beds. They're just thinking of every evil thing. And at morning, they can't wait to get up and do that evil thing. Because, why? Because it is in the power of their hand. Simply because it is in the power of their hand. There are some things going on in our nation right now, without trying to be political in any way. There are some things being signed that are totally against the word of God. And they're being signed because the people signing them have the power to do it. That's like this person that we're talking about right here. I'm not getting political. I want you to be very clear on that. I'm not getting political. I'm saying that's what's happening in our nation. That's what's happening in the world right now. And we need to be aware of this. We can't take it lightly. They covet fields, and they take them by violence, also houses, and seize them. So they oppress a man and his house, a man and his inheritance. They couldn't wait. Micah knew of men who coveted the fields and the houses and schemed to get the property by any means possible. He knew landlords who oppressed the people and would throw them out in a moment's notice. He knew men like Ahab who coveted Nabal's vineyard. And that's in 1 Kings 21, if you want to look it up later. It cost Nabal his life because Jezebel got involved in it with Ahab, and Ahab took the life of Nabal so that he could have his vineyard. That's the kind of men that we're talking about here. That's what we're talking about in this. Therefore, thus says the Lord, verse 3, behold, against this family I am devising a disaster from which you cannot remove your necks. You can't get out of this one. Nor shall you walk proudly, haughtily, for this is an evil time. This is an evil time, ladies, that we are living in right now. In that day, verse 4, one shall take up a proverb against you and lament with a bitter lamentation, saying, we are utterly destroyed. He has changed the heritage of my people. How he has removed it from me to a turncoat. He has divided our fields. Therefore, you will have no one to determine boundaries by lot in the assembly of the Lord. So the priests were not doing their jobs. Do not prattle, verse 6. Do not prattle, you say to those who prophesy, so they shall prophesy to you. They shall not return insult for insult. You who are named the house of Jacob, is the spirit of the Lord restricted? Are these his doings? Do not my words do good to him who walks uprightly? People of influence denounced Micah as someone who is just running off at the mouth, just saying whatever he wants to say. They didn't take him seriously because he wasn't saying what they wanted him to say. He wasn't saying the things that made them feel all nice. He was saying the things that God had for him to say, and they called him a prating meddler. They called him foolish, speaking of foolish things. And they actually believed that it couldn't happen there. They actually believe that it couldn't happen there. And we believe it can't happen here. But we're America. No, that doesn't happen in America. Yeah. Their boast was that they were called. Can you see them? Do you know who I am, Micah? Excuse me, do you know who I am? I am, I'm Jacob. I'm from Abraham. I'm the chosen people. Do you know who you're talking to? And haven't we said that in our pride? John the Baptist dealt with it in Matthew 3:9, confronted the same issue We have Abraham as our father. Their boast was empty. Although they were physically from the lineage of Abraham, they had nothing of the Spirit to do with him at all. They had walked away. People today call themselves Christians and yet live like the world. Those who live like the world have no confidence in that day. He said he's coming for those who love his appearing. He is coming for those who are looking for him to come. He's coming for those who have repented. He is coming for those who have given their lives to Christ. He is coming for those who love him. If we want to live like the world, we shouldn't be surprised that we don't get a ticket in. And we can go to once saved, always saved. Actually, I believe once saved, always saved, unless you fall away. So I don't know. I don't know. I know that no one can snatch you out of my hand, the Word of God says, and yet at the same time, he says that that we can turn our back on him. That's my choice. That's not his choice. That's my choice to do that. And so when Christians gather his, when Christ gathers his people, he will say, I never knew them. I never knew you. And so we move on. Verse 8, lately my people have risen up as an enemy. You have made yourself an enemy to me, said God through Micah. You pull off the robe with the garment for those who trust you as they pass by. Do you know what that means when they say you have pulled off the robe with the garment? Every piece of clothing that you had on was taken. Your underwear was gone. You stood naked. His people were doing that. God's people, from those who trust you as they pass by. That's a very important thing to note. Those who trust you. You have stripped those who trusted you, like men returned from war. The women of my people you cast out. From their pleasant houses, from their children, you have taken away my glory from forever. You have taken away my glory from those children because you have proven yourself untrustworthy, and because you have proven yourself untrustworthy, they are not trusting in me. You have stripped them of my glory because of your selfishness. This is serious stuff here. He said that you have declared war on me, and let me tell you, he says, I will win. God says, I have already won. I will win this war. So don't fight against me. Verse 9, the women of the people, about misrepresenting, they had shown him that he couldn't be trusted. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Since these people were representatives of God who should be teaching the people of how much they can trust God, they had failed miserably and had perhaps taken away the knowledge of God's glory from the people. And there is greater judgment on those who lead people astray and lead people away from the Lord. Arise and depart, verse 10, for this is not your rest. This ain't it. This is not your rest. Because it is defiled, it shall destroy. Yes, with utter destruction. If a man should walk in a false spirit and speak a lie, saying, I will prophesy to you of wine and drink, even he would be the prattler of this people. He would be the foolish one. He would be the one telling you untrue things. Micah saw rich men manipulating the law for their good. To suit themselves, and they quieted the spirit within them by listening to false prophets that told them, you're fine. God's not going to punish you because you are chosen. God's not going to hold you responsible because you're chosen. Their words were no more prophet. Speaking of prophet, P-R-O-F-I-T, than a person who is falling down drunk. The things that a person that is falling down drunk says to you, that's the same thing that you can trust in with these men. They have nothing. They can give you emptiness. And that's where they were at. And the people got what they deserved in those prophets. But here we go. Like last week, we had verse 15. This week, we have verse 12 and 13. How cool is verse 12 and 13 as you were studying it? I will surely assemble all of you, O Jacob. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together like sheep of the fold, like a flock in the midst of their pasture. They shall make a loud noise because of so many people. The one who breaks open will come up before them. They will break out, pass through the gate, and go out by it. Their king will pass before them with the Lord at their head. This is so cool. This is so good. This is so good. How exciting. Micah switches to a promise for the future. He's laid all this out. This first portion, remember, is retribution. And he's laid it all out. Now he's got the promise of the future. He begins to speak of the time he saw at the end time blessing of the regathering of the remnant of God's people. Micah tells them that they will be like sheep, like the sheep of Bozrah, B-O-Z-R-A-H. It's a place in 2 Kings 3:4, and it's noted for its rich pasture lands. They will be fed in the where the best food is. They will be given the very best thing, the very best pasture. Micah heard the noise of a large crowd of people and saw them going before them, someone going before them. He called them the breaker. He said that someone breaks open. The one who breaks open will come up before them, leading them on the way. Who is that? That is our Messiah that leads them. That is our leader. The Messiah is the one who clears the way. Just as he marched ahead of his people when they came out of Egypt into the promised land, so he will march with in front of them at that coming day. He will clear out of their way the beast. He will clear out of their way the false prophet. He will clear out of the way the huge armies of the world that are against him. God himself will go before you. That's what Micah is telling them. God himself will go before you. God will go before you. He has gone before you. Joshua 3:4 tells us you have not passed this way before. You've not been this way before, so pay attention and follow me. Follow me. God has gone before you. John 14:1 and onward, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be dismayed. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I've gone before you. I've gone to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I've gone and I've prepared the way. In Psalm 23:5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God has prepared a table before us in the presence of my enemies. He has gone before us. He has prepared a place for us. Jesus Christ is coming back. And it could be any moment. It could be any second. It could be in the twinkling of an eye, and we're all, you know what? We want to talk about that. Someday we're going to have to talk about that. Maybe not today, but are all the clothes going to be left behind? Is this body going to be left behind? Am I going to get my new body on the way up? How, you know, I know what I've heard, but I don't know scripturally what that exactly means. And I love to talk about it, but because I can't back it up in the Word, I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. The important thing is, Jesus Christ is coming for his church. He said he would come, and he's coming for us. God has gone before us and prepared a place for us. I was thinking about this, you've not been this way before. And I've been saying lately, I've never been old before. I don't know how I'm supposed to be acting. I don't know how I'm supposed to be doing things. I've never been here before. And so that's what it is with us. And God has gone before us, and he has prepared the way for us. Trust the Lord. Trust him. God loves you. God sees you. And God hears you. God loves you. God sees you. And God hears you. And here's the scary part. All the time. He knows the thoughts and intents of my heart. And yet he says, I love you. I see you. I hear you. I thought of this, you is kind. You is smart, you is kind, and you is important. Yes, you are smart because you decided to ask Jesus into your heart. You are kind because you're becoming more and more like him. And you are so important that God gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Do you know him? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you have a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ? That's why I'm going to tell you, get into the scripture writing. Get into your time with the Lord in the morning, first thing in the morning. Imagine getting up in the morning and just paying no attention to your husband. Absolutely nothing. Or whoever else is in your house or family. And just, you know, you get up and you don't even look at him. You know, just you go on with it. And yet, how many times do we do that to God? We get up and we get on with our day and we don't even say, good morning, Lord. We don't even go into good morning, Lord, let alone listen for what he has to say to us. Invest that time with the Lord in the morning. In the morning, early will I seek ye. That's what the Bible says. David said, early will I seek you. Well, I don't like to get up early. As early as you get up, if 10 o'clock is early for you, then early will you seek him. If that's when you get up, that's early for you. And that's fine. Do it first thing. Don't allow other things to get in the way of that time. If you have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, tell somebody. If you have a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, tell somebody about it, because we can't hold this in. We got to share this. We've got to share Jesus with other people. They are going to hell and they don't even know it. I need to share Jesus Christ. I need to share with other people what God has done in my heart. But I might be a little bit afraid. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That is a disciplined mind. Don't be afraid to share what God has done in your life. So remember how to deal with stress. Seek God's guidance. Trust what he tells you to do. Remember past victories. Exalt God above the problem. Solicit the prayers and support of others. And stand on the promises of God. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can stand on your promises. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, that you have gone before us. that you know the way, that you've gone before us and you're preparing. You prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. You prepare a place for us. Lord, that you planned ahead that we might be with you. Father, we look to your coming. We look to the coming of Jesus Christ when he comes for his church. Lord, we look toward the marriage supper of the Lamb. We look toward those things, Lord, when we have that intimate relationship with you, when all we are longing for is to be in your presence. Lord Jesus, I pray, Father, that our hearts would be so in tune with you that we would just get a little nudge and you would say, this is the way, walk ye in it, and we would know right away. We wouldn't fight it, but we would go in the way that you tell us to go. Father, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Help us to be in your word, Lord, to know what you have to say, to check it out and make sure that whoever's teaching here is teaching correctly. Challenge us, Lord. And I fearfully say that, challenge us. That in these times that are upon us, Lord, and the times that are coming, you've said in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. You said, I told you these things beforehand so that when they come upon you, you're not taken by them. And so, Lord, you've told us beforehand some hard stuff is coming so that we can prepare, so that we're not taken by it, we're not surprised by it when it happens. Our life goes on with you. And we thank you, Lord. We praise you. I pray for the time that these ladies are in their small groups, Lord, that they would just how they minister to one another, how they are a strength to one another, how they are an encouragement to one another. And let them bring honor and glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus, we worship you.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495. In the power of your name.